I surrender all. My prayer is that you will also surrender all on this day. We are reminded in this moment, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us not forget that God is good all the time. Let us not forget this day in the midst of chaos, pain, and grief. God is still God. I am grateful for our gifted and talented worship team, from technology to the worship leaders to the singers to the musicians, for the hymns that we've sung over and over again to remind us how good God is, to the faithful preaching of Brian and Pastor Ashley while I was out, to the maintenance crew and the committed volunteers and even the construction crews who are in the process of restoring our campus. God has blessed Cokesbury in a mighty way. I'm grateful for you, your various forms of messages, from your horn honking, your waving, your distributing of free groceries, making phone calls from Sunday school to small groups, loving on staff and teachers and families. I am grateful for your consistent generosity and the gifting of your time. God has blessed Cokesbury in a mighty way. We are a community of faith committed to being connected by the Spirit and grace and love of God. No matter where we are or what one looks like, we are accountable to one another and those around us, and intentionally visible to the community and the world as a place of hope because of our love for God. But I want to warn you this morning. Today's message is not about bringing Christ to people and people to Christ. Today's message is not about connecting people to God, growing in our faith, and serving God together. Today is about setting the foundation for over the next 6 weeks, where we will explore the timeless, action-oriented principles that God has laid out before us. Whenever I travel someplace new or even a place I know well, I like to utilize the Waze navigation tool, W-A-Z-E. Anyone else a Wazer out there? Honk your horn. Send me a message. Let me know. I like this app because it is a community of people who help one another arrive safely as possible to their destination. The app does speak to you, so if you are alone and all of a sudden you hear a voice, it can really catch you off guard. But by no means this is an endorsement for Waze, but Waze will inform you when there is an obstacle in the road, when there is traffic, when there is police, or a car stuck on the road up ahead. Even coupons pop up for restaurants if you find yourself hungry within the area in which you are passing through. Waze provides you with continual updates for the journey. And as a part of the community of Wazers, there is an expectation you will also confirm or report what is happening on your road trip. I've been a Wazer for years, providing information and confirming obstacles to help those behind me while receiving the knowledge of those who have gone before me. And I believe, church, It is time that we are intentional about finding our way and becoming wazers on this journey in Jesus Christ. I have to admit, as I hear or witness people move to other churches, it becomes increasingly harder to preach in these days. But then again, I remember, God is still God. As I said earlier, I plan to preach another passage in Chronicles, but after visiting Atlanta in the midst of a political runoff, Nashville a couple of days after the bombing, and this continued aftermath of the violent protests, which began on what is traditionally known as Epiphany, January 6th, which is where we officially celebrate the Magi's visit to baby Jesus. And today, on January 10th, it is a celebration of the baptism of the Lord. Beautiful people of God, we are standing in this moment between the manifestation of Christ as both fully human and fully divine, and are in need of a revival now more than ever. It is not business as usual. So I want to clear the air for a moment. And this may go against everything you have ever known or heard about a revival. A revival is not about our hearts being warmed about all the good work we are doing. A revival is not a week or a month-long gathering and hearing from the Holy Spirit. A revival is not seeing hordes of people coming to the Lord in a short period of time. A revival is best understood in two biblical terms, one in Hebrew and one in Greek. I will talk more about this in our upcoming e-news, so be sure to sign up. But for right now, in essence, a revival in Hebrew describes what it means to go through, to grow up, to change, to be renewed. A revival in the Greek means to rise up and awaken from falling asleep. So what better way than to start this week with 2 Chronicles and the theophany of this manifestation of God. God appears to King Solomon, and verse 11 immediately drops us into a "we did it" moment. Solomon has completed the building of the temple, and this "we did it" moment may sound familiar to many of us as we witnessed and heard similar phrases when we crossed into the new year. We did it. Solomon has completed this building of the temple, and some scholars believe it is about 13 years later when the Lord appears. By now, you may know how much I love the Old Testament. I became interested in this is a confession in Chronicles many, many moons ago. I became interested because I simply wanted to know if my name was in the Bible. I may have been the only person who has done this. So I began with an internet search. I think it was through AOL, so I'm dating myself. Because if you have a name like Peter or Mary, Jonah or Hannah, you don't think about those things. I simply wanted to know if my name, my first name Sheila, was in the Bible. And believe it or not, it is. This is where I fell in love, not because my name is tucked away in 1 Chronicles as the youngest son of Jonah, spelled slightly different, Or because the first 9 chapters are a long list of names with God's treasures implanted in between. I fell in love because I saw a narrative, a witness to what would be likened in today's terms of Ancestry.com or a family tree, where the genealogies, where the names reach from the deepest root of Adam to the very top branches of those who were living in the chronicler's time. With these roots, God's people knew who they were and how they were to live. You know, at times they may have felt like the most insignificant of people, but the genealogies, the narratives, the names served to remind them that they were not only a people rich in history, but their history was God's history. Cokesbury, it is not business as usual. See, I want to let you know that as you unite or join this church, we write your name in a book and your name becomes a part of the genealogy of the church, because our history is God's history. And together, united in Christ, we have an opportunity to emerge more diverse, more inclusive, and stronger than ever. It is time to be revived, to rise up, to awaken from sleep. In verse 12, the Lord is responding to a prayer prayed by Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 12 through 42. In the night, the Lord appears and says to Solomon, "I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself to be a house of worship." God continues on to say in verses 13 and 14, "I may stop the sky from sending rain. I may command the locusts to destroy the land. I may send sickness to my people. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, if they will pray and seek me and stop their evil ways, I will hear them from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." After hearing these words from God, we have to stop, not pause, not hover, but stop. We often use the terms children of God, followers of Christ, people of God. We often say Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. So many words and phrases to publicly define our relationship with God. When we do this at times, we may be committing evil, whether through thought, through word, deed. Think about what you see posted on social media. Think about what you hear throughout the community, or maybe even your own families. And this is against one another. Christ tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And God says in this moment, when you are my God-defined people, you will respond to God. It is time for us to respond to God. See, it is through God's abundant grace. It is through the movement of the Holy Spirit. It is our accountability and our commitment to our community of faith, our community at large, that through today's word of hope, we rise up along with this promise of God to become renewed and strengthened and do these four things. These four things that the Lord expects from us. To humble ourselves. To pray. To seek God's face. And to stop our evil ways. Wow. These are expectations of us when we proclaim God's name. So I want you to think about this for a moment. What does it mean to be humbled? What does it mean to be humble? You can write it down on a piece of paper. You can think about it for a moment. You can put it in the comment section. But as you think about this, I want to add to what you have expressed in your mind, in your heart, or physically on a sheet of paper, what it means to be humble. In light of all that we have experienced or witnessed just over the past year, to be humble doesn't mean to be weak. To be humble means to be strong in God. It means to subdue ourselves. It means to bring our emotions under control. It means to be obedient to God. It means to be proactive and not reactive. It means to acknowledge in Christ we are made perfect. And through Jesus Christ, to recognize the wisdom and the abundant grace of God along with the Holy Spirit who helps us along the way. I can't say this enough. God is still God, no matter what is going on in our life, in our world. And God is calling us. This is what it says, to be humble. But God is also calling us to pray. I hear often people don't know what to pray for or even how to pray. Prayer is not about you. It's all about God. And traditionally, prayer occurs at a minimum of 3 times a day. In my opinion, this is not a huge ask from God to stop what we're doing and for less than 5 minutes and pray. To pray the prayer the Lord taught the disciples to pray so long ago, to pray the scriptures from worship, to pray for our nation, our church, and one another, to pray for our government leaders, to pray for how God is guiding you and me, to pray for revelation about what's next and how we respond to what is happening in our world. To pray for revelation from John Wesley's straightforward rules, do no harm, do good, and stay in love with God. To pray through Micah 6:8, where it says, the Lord has told you, human, what is good. He has told you what he wants from you, to do what is right to other people, to love being kind to others, and live humbly obeying your God. To pray, to rise up, and to walk humbly in these times. God continues on and reminds us, as God defined people, to seek God's face. Oh, to seek God's face. To seek God's presence, meaning to worship God, to celebrate God, to be in community, to study God's word with others, and not walk this journey alone. To unite with the church, because our history is God's history, and God is still God. Finally, God says to Solomon, if my people, my God-defined people, will stop their evil ways, will turn their backs from their wicked lives. Verse 15 tells us that God says, I will see them, I will hear them, I will forgive them. I will listen to their prayers in this place, and I will heal their land. We have witnessed a lot of hate and violence, as well as peace and hope. And at times, complacency, silence, ignorance, and an unwillingness to hear, see, or act perpetrates the evil that continues to contribute to the ongoing pain within our world. Yet when we turn from our wicked ways, the things that we say, the things that we do, and choose to be in God's presence, God will stir our hearts. The heart of Jesus will swell within us to speak out against injustice and evil, to be an intentional group of faithful people defined by God, strong in God, accountable to one another, and pure in heart and action. We will humble ourselves. We will pray daily. We will worship often and be led to turn from our evil ways. Always. A revival is within our reach. It is here and now, and it is time to rise up. God is still God and good all the time. So this morning, I will end today with verse 16. Where God has said, I have chosen this temple and made it holy, so I will be worshipped there forever. Yes, I will watch over it, and I will love it. This verse is so connected to the one that is familiar to many of us. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him won't perish but will have eternal life. We normally stop there, and we shouldn't. God didn't send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. See, whoever believes in him isn't judged. Whoever doesn't believe in him is already judged, because they do not believe in the name of God's only Son. So, beautiful people who are defined by God's name, rise up over the next week and let us humble ourselves. Rise up and pray at a minimum 3 times a day, 15 minutes to give to God. Rise up asking for God to show us where we need to change and what we need to do right now, today, in the face of evil. Rise up and to share the love of Jesus Christ. Rise up and be strengthened through God's grace as the Holy Spirit guides us away from our wicked ways. Rise up and learn from the community of Wazers with an expectation that each of us through this faith community will lead the way for others. Rise up as we move beyond being caught up in carpet colors and move into discovering how God is calling us to respond to what is happening in our world. Rise up to the unemployment, the impoverished, the hungry, the destitute, the imprisoned, and the lonely and the grieving who are experiencing pain. Rise up, because it is not business as usual. I implore you to hear God's words. I have chosen this temple and made it holy, so I will be worshipped there forever. Yes, I will always watch over it and love it. So saints, rise up. Surrender all, just as you are.